Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Blue Cirrus Radio Show. Today, we are going to be talking about healthcare accreditation and certification. I'm really excited about the guests on the show. And our first guest is Maggie Cornett from URAC. And I'll let her explain the acronyms there when we talk to her in just a moment. And we'll be talking about why it's important and why someone might do that. So, welcome to the show, Maggie.
Thank you so much, Michelle. It's great to be here.
Thanks so much for being here. So tell us about URAC and about the customers that you serve. What are you doing all day?
Absolutely. So URAC was first incorporated in 1990, so it's over 30 years old. When it was first developed, URAC stood for the Utilization Review Accreditation Commission. And it no longer stands for that. It's just URAC now. So even though you might see us referenced with that old name, it really is URAC. We are accreditors for organizations. We accredit large organizations to very small organizations. We actually hold over 50 accreditations at my last count in several different areas, things like pharmacy, healthcare, the digital space, obviously, mental health, substance use disorder parity, patient care management, and administrative management.
Wow, you have quite a few there. So you talked about accreditation, and URAC is the leading accreditor in the country, certainly for digital health and telehealth work. Tell us the difference between accreditation and certification.
Okay. In general, when folks refer to certification, it's at the individual level. An individual becomes certified in something. An accreditation is typically an organization-wide. So the whole organization gets accredited. Having said that, URAC does have certifications, URAC certifications, but typically they are not as rigorous as a URAC accreditation. They're still very important, still highly focused on quality, but there is a slight, very slight leveling, and you might see them, a certification eventually become an accreditation over the years.
Okay, interesting. And then, so when you think about the accreditations that you do offer, and you mentioned them, they were a plethora of them, as you said, and I'm sure folks can find that on your website
Absolutely.
at
They're
org.
all listed.
Tell us a little bit about how accreditation assists the industry and why it's important from an industry perspective to adopt accreditation.
Okay. When you look at the industry in general, any industry, you'll see regulatory bodies typically that are responsible for regulating that organization. And regulatory bodies typically focus on safety, whereas accreditation focuses on quality. So we're taking it that step above. What we focus on is that everyone deserves exceptional health care. And we are focused on, and our standards are focused on ensuring the organization is delivering that highest standard of quality.
And with each individual organization, they obviously have to make a decision for themselves how they're going to approach this and whether they'll move forward with accreditation. But what kind of advice would you give to someone who's considering getting accredited by URAC or even another body?
Sure. First of all, URAC doesn't sell consulting services. We are focused on the accreditation process, and through our accreditation process, you're going to have a whole education process. You're going to find out best practices. The entire process, and we can talk about the process in a second, is going to uplift the organization towards quality and what those standards indicate. If you're looking at URAC accreditation, first place I'd go is to our website. On our website, for every single accreditation or certification we offer, we have standards at a glance. You can look at the exact standards that we have listed and have developed. You can then also, if you want even a little bit more detail, purchase them. You can certainly talk to our sales executives. But there is a plethora of information on the URAC.org site, and that would be the first place to look so that you kind of get an idea of what you're getting into.
And I think, based on my understanding of the URAC accreditation process, it's pretty thorough. There are very thorough, and there are as you mentioned, lots of different standards associated with it. And we like to talk, obviously, about telehealth on this show. So talk a little bit about the telehealth standards and the evolution of those standards and how you got to that point.
And our digital area is not just telehealth, but I'll talk specifically about telehealth and most of our standard development in general. It all starts with subject matter experts, advisory committees from across the compendium of organizations that provide that service, as well as public comment. Then they go through our health standards committee or our pharmacy advisory council or our parity advisory council, depending upon the focus of those standards. They're approved by our board of directors. So there are many levels of they need to pass in order before they become available on the market. But they are they're deeply reliant on the subject matter experts in the field. Yes.
Lots of rigor around that. And I know from working with organizations that we'll talk to during the show who have been recently accredited for the telehealth standards, those vary anything from your clinical practice to your technology to your HIPAA standards. So talk to us about some detail around those.
Sure. The telehealth standards are, you know, telehealth, COVID, as we know, opened the doors to telehealth wide open. Telehealth has been around for decades.
Yes.
I think it was the AMA that said at the beginning of 2020, about 28% of providers may or may not have provided telehealth services, and the general public and their acceptance of it was equally low. By the end of 2020, it was well over 80%. The standards for, but when you're offering telehealth, even with the relaxed regulations during that time, that doesn't mean you give up on quality of care, the privacy and the security and the safety of the technology you're using, the data transmission privacy, that you're making sure that the providers are credentialed, that the risk management is in place, and that there is a roadmap for ongoing process improvement. So specifically for telehealth, that's where those focus standards are. We also break down telehealth, and you can get any combination of the above into for a little bit further so that you refine exactly the kind of practice they do. Is it a consumer to provider where the consumer initiates it? Or is it a provider to consumer where your provider is initiating? Or is it just a provider provider, which is more of a consulting, or any of the three above? So it's really focused on the type of telehealth medicine you're providing and ensuring that that medicine is delivered in a safe, secure, quality way.
Absolutely. And I think those nuances are important because businesses are different in the way that they deliver care, whether they're just simply, I shouldn't say simply, but whether they're a consultative organization, well, as you said, provider to provider, providing consults, or they are providing care direct to consumers, or in some other fashion, as you mentioned, the three or four different modalities that could be existing in a telehealth space. So lots of variety, lots of options there. One of the things that I recall as an important process point in the accreditation process for one of our clients that went through this process was the partnership between URAC and the person that is getting accredited. So the assistance that you do get and talk about why that's important from URAC's perspective to have that partnership between the accreditee and the accreditor.
That's really where you're getting that educational piece. So think of, and if I can just go through the steps of accreditation just briefly, it'll kind of help a little bit.
Yeah.
When you apply for accreditation, you fill out an application instrument, you as the client. And what you're doing is you're submitting documentation to us against the specific standard or the element of performance that demonstrates compliance with that standard. Once you've submitted that to us, we assign a lead reviewer and they go through what's called the desktop review, where they're going through the standard and they're going through the evidence that you have submitted. And not only should you expect a request for further information or a refinement of what you've submitted. I would welcome it because that's going to help you with that educational process. And depending upon the type of review, there may be a couple rounds of that RFI process where the reviewer will submit a report back to you that says, here's the ones they've flagged this standard. And this is what might refine where we're looking for just that little more evidence of quality, or that policy should reflect just this little bit more. And then once the desktop review is completed, then they schedule what they call the validation review. And that's where you walk the talk. So desktop review is where you demonstrate compliance on a paper process. These are the policies, procedures, minutes, et cetera, that demonstrate compliance. Validation review is where they may still look at some documentation on validation review, such as credentialing documents, but they're also going to interview staff. They're going to take tours of your facility if that's applicable. That's where they you demonstrate that you're actually walking the talk that you've submitted to us.
And I think that level of rigor is what sets URAC apart. I think the an organization that wants to set themselves up for that level of rigor to be able to understand, am I doing what I think I'm doing? Because I oftentimes you have an assumption that your organization is completing these certain policies and procedures, and it may be that that's just what's been going on for years, and so it's part of your culture and
sure.
not necessarily written down.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I think that sets us apart, aside from that we don't sell consulting services, is the fact that our reviewers, the reviewer you're assigned, is URAC staff.
Yeah.
They do telehealth reviews continuously. It's not another organization representative that maybe does one or two a year and has to follow some paper process. These are reviewers that are well-versed in the process, in the practice, have seen the other organizations and now can give you insights into best practice.
Absolutely. And I think, as you said, you don't sell those consulting, so you don't sell consulting services around that. We do, but and our advice to organizations is to start before you actually go through the application process. That way
absolutely.
Your timer, because there's a timer there.
There is a timer, yep.
Have to get done by. So our recommendation is to start even before, start to collect that information, as you said, to be able to present that for the desktop review. And then at that point, hopefully you've head off any challenges before you get to the point where you're trying to to start writing additional policies or things that you didn't know
absolutely
might have been there.
And I think that timer is mutual, because I don't think anybody wants to continuously go through accreditation either, tell you the truth. So
and how long does the accreditation last? So
for
when you
telehealth, I believe because it's such a virtual component, we don't have to do on-site reviews for telehealth. I believe it's a 6-month total commitment at this point.
And when you get accredited, when is the next time that you would need to be accredited again? I thought
okay.
There was
it's a 3-year it's 3 years. You're accredited for a 3-year period. And after the validation review, your submission is blinded and sent to the accreditation committee. So it's not URAC that awards the accreditation. It's the accreditation committee, which is made up of our organizations who are accredited, representatives, volunteers who sit on that committee. And they review your application and they give the final award. So once you're awarded, it's a 3-year period.
Interesting. I did not realize that gets then sent to
mm-hmm.
next level. There is quite that's very interesting, quite a bit of process that you go through. Thank you for clarifying that. And then tell us a little bit about, you've just launched an international partnership. Tell us about that. It seems very exciting.
So we do work with the International Society for Telehealth, and we have spoken at their conferences. But when I speak about telehealth internationally, we did not reach out to organizations to accredit internationally. They came to us. And the first one that came to us was Ann Shams University in Egypt. And they focused on geriatric care. And they wanted to ensure that they were delivering quality geriatric care to the Arabic community. And they deliver their care in Arabic so that it can reach beyond even their borders. There could be clients in the United States that they support that would prefer to have their care in Arabic with an Arabic physician. So they can expand beyond that. GluCare Health is another. It is located in Dubai, and it is focused on diabetic care. So we do have some international clients. We also work with the International Society for Telehealth. And as the reviews, again, are virtual, they are something that can be done internationally.
That's a great that you're expanding that. I think that's important when we look at the international community. I think historically, you might believe they are in some ways behind the United States prior to COVID. But now, since everyone experienced COVID, we're all at essentially the same levels as, you know, quote unquote. So it's important that we look at our international neighbors and learn from them as well as them learning from us as well. So great job in expanding out into the international community as well. So Maggie, tell us, where, if someone is interested in becoming accredited, where would they go to find more information about URAC and about your programs?
I would go to URAC.org. I would go specifically to the tab that talks about accreditations and certifications. I would focus on your area. I would download the standards and start looking at them. If you want a little bit more detail, there are some very nominal fee. You can purchase additional information about those standards, but go look through it and see what it's going to take to become accredited. And then once you do sign a contract with URAC, you will receive a very specific guide on telehealth accreditation as the example. And that guide not only goes into very, very specific detail about standards or the elements of performance under those standards, it also gives you suggestions about what sorts of documentation you would use to submit as evidence of compliance to those standards. So I train my folks every month on how to use the system that you submit your application in. And my very first words to everyone is go to the tab and download your guide, because you're not going to be able to do it without it. And that's really where the detail is. Also, you have the ability on the URAC.org site to reach out to a sales executive who can walk you through the process in a lot more detail as well.
Good point. I think there's also, from what I can remember from my process and our clients' process, is if you've done other certifications or other accreditations in the past, for example, a high trust accreditation, et cetera, then you may find yourself in a good spot because you've already collected a lot of the technology requirements.
Exact components, around. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so lots and lots of advice. Well, Maggie, thank you so much for being on the show tonight and helping people understand how the URAC accreditation works. It's an important tool for us to move the industry forward. I think it's really, really a great testament to the organization that you continue to evolve this program over the years and now expanding it internationally. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for listening. This is WATD 95.9. We'll be right back with Blue Sierra's Telehealth Radio with our next guest. So stay tuned.